let me just pick up on something you said about AIDS before I get into what I do, just because I still have this thought. I interviewed some people in a rap group at the Gay and Lesbian Community Services Center a few months ago about AIDS, and I asked them what they thought caused AIDS, and they came up with every rumor from male hormones to you name it, you know. And so I was curious, and I asked them, well, where are you getting your information about AIDS? Hardly any of them were reading it in the newspapers or getting it from media. They were getting it word of mouth. I think the problem isn't necessarily that the coverage of AIDS is so bad, but it's that people aren't even reading what's out there. We don't know a lot about it, but people aren't even reading that. And you sit in the Crest coffee shop for 10 minutes, and you'll hear people saying, well, I heard this, and I heard that, and I heard this. Where would they hear it? They heard it at a bar someplace. And why aren't they going out and buying the Sentinel or the Native or Gay Community News and reading for themselves? You know, I get the opinion that some people pick up the gay press to read the personals, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's an issue in our community, that people should want to be informed, especially when something is about their health. And they shouldn't trust PM Magazine to get their information about AIDS. Anyway, now I'm going to tell you what I do at IMRU. IMRU is a gay radio program that's produced by an all-volunteer force of about 12 or 15 people. It's a labor of love. It's produced on KPFK, which is a non-profit, non-commercial radio station. And that means we don't have any advertisers, which means we don't have any money, but it also means that we don't have to deal with the issue of a target market and will we lose an advertiser if we talk about women too much? Or will we lose an advertiser if we put a black face on the cover of our newspaper? And frankly, that's nice, not having to deal with advertisers. Being able to say, does this have news value? Is this something that's important? Without having to think about those considerations. Which is not to put down commercial newspapers that have to make money. It's just to say, that's where we're at. And I think we have a certain amount of credibility because of that. There was a story just a few weeks ago about an advertiser in Miami who pulled all, he was a major advertiser in a newspaper, in a gay newspaper, and he pulled all his advertising because he didn't want the newspaper running any stories about AIDS. He thought that was going to undo all we've worked for the last 20 or 30 years. That if the general public starts reading all this about AIDS, then the gay movement's going to go down the drain. That's a real problem for that newspaper. As their major advertiser, you know, he paid a good deal of their salaries. And I'm sure they did a lot of soul searching. And he really put them on the line. You know, do we continue with presenting the news as we feel we should, if that means going under? I'm glad I don't have to be put in that position. And granted that most advertisers are not going to put you in that position, but it's always a possibility. It's important that newspapers, and I've worked at community newspapers, non-gay community newspapers before, and I know that it's important that you put the advertising department in another state and don't give them your telephone number and let them deal with the advertiser and let you do your job in editorial. Because as a reporter, you shouldn't be confronted with the editor coming in and saying, oh, gee, be real careful with this story because we could lose an advertiser over it. Who's our audience? We perhaps are unique in that I don't think we have quite the same audience that most gay newspapers have. Most gay and lesbian newspapers you pick up in a bar or a place frequented by gays and lesbians. Frontiers, I think, probably has more of a clone-type audience than we do. Our signal stretches from Santa Barbara to San Diego, and I think we're reaching, at least our letters indicate, that we're reaching people who are too young to go into gay establishments, who can't risk to bring a gay newspaper home for one reason or another, people who are in the closet, who are struggling with the idea, am I gay and lesbian, gay or lesbian, what does that mean? And people living in other parts of the world than just the LA metropolitan area. There's a lot of gay and lesbian people living, you know, out in Riverside and San Bernardino and out beyond that, and down in beyond the Orange Curtain and areas where gay and lesbian things are not as accessible. So I think we perform a function in that we are educating people as to what it means to be gay and lesbian, and we're educating people about what's going on in the gay community, and helping them to hopefully, to confront and to deal with their own sexuality. And I believe we even have non-gay listeners who perhaps a son or daughter is gay and they want to know, what does that mean? The show breaks down into three basic parts. We have a community calendar of events. Nonprofit and some profit organizations can send us their listings, and we'll read their announcements, what's going to be going on. We have a regular feature that runs about half an hour, and we have a new segment that runs about 15 minutes. Our feature programs have ranged, well, we've been on the air for about 9 years now, so you can imagine we've touched about everything. Everything from parents of gays, gay parents, gays and lesbians in South America, interviews with politicians and singers, topics that have included bisexuality, and on and on and on. Radio, as opposed to newspapers, is very unique. With the newspaper, the LA Times will say, Jerry Falwell said, I love homosexuals. You can hear Jerry Falwell say in his pious, hypocritical way, I love homosexuals. And you can decide, you can interpret that. What does that mean? When Jerry Falwell came a couple of years ago out to the convention center, we went out with about three reporters, and we interviewed people who were demonstrating against him outside. We interviewed people who were there to hear him, Christians apparently, walking in and out, and we went into to the hall and listened to him speak. Inside, Jerry Falwell was saying, I love homosexuals, I have nothing against them. You know. But outside, the people, his followers, who were coming into the hall, were saying some real violent, real hateful things about the people who were demonstrating in a very peaceful way. And the juxtaposition of those two things made an impact that a newspaper story couldn't make. You get to hear the tone of voice. Often reporters are kind of reluctant to tell you that the mayor sounded angry, because that's their interpretation. And they want to be objective. Well, you can hear the mayor say, scream or shout, or whatever he did, and you can decide what that means. It puts the listener in the position of being a lot more active, instead of just scanning through the paper and looking at the pictures and reading the headlines. The listener has to listen to what's going on. He's an active participant in that. A minister in Long Beach was running some advertisements in the IPT, which said, I think the headline was, The Lesbians Want Your Children. And inside the article, it talked about how gays and lesbians were worthy of death. That was duly reported in a lot of gay newspapers. We had the advantage of being able to call him up on the phone, tell him he's on tape, and would he please explain what he means. And you could hear him humming and hawing and kind of tripping over himself, trying to explain, well, he didn't actually mean that gays were worthy of death. He merely meant that spiritually, all sinners were worthy of death. And, you know, that's a perfectly true statement from a Christian perspective. You know, everybody is worthy of death. And so I talked to him about, well, do you understand the link between something someone reads in a newspaper and then going out, you know, homophobia is directly linked to things like that and homophobic violence. And he said, well, certainly he didn't want anybody to go out and beat up gays or lesbians, and he, you know, he was just trying to be dramatic. And he sounded pretty foolish by the end of the interview, and he stopped reading those ads. And so it's a real impact to call somebody up and say, I'm a reporter, I'm with a radio station, and you are on tape, let's talk. And that's something, when I worked for a newspaper, I could never, you know, I never had that impact. I had to go in and I could take my notebook. But the person, especially someone who's not used to talking on the air or on tape, you can get them to be more honest sometimes and to say things maybe they didn't, you know, maybe what they're feeling deep down inside, but wouldn't, if they had a little more time to think about it, wouldn't say. What are our problems, just to wrap up? Fundraising is a problem and publicity is a problem. It's not something we can drop on your doorstep. You have to know where it is on the dial, and you have to know when it's on, and you have to be able to tune in. And it would be wonderful to run ads in all these papers, but we don't have the budget to do it. So that's a real problem. We're being an all-volunteer force. It's hard for us to have the extra time left over after putting on the show to to run out and do a bake sale or whatever it is that, you know, that it takes to raise money. It would be wonderful for us to do networking with other radio shows. There are a few gay radio programs around the country, and it would be wonderful to get things from them, to share tapes, to share that information, to hire correspondents, and that all takes money, and that is our Achilles heel at this point. So I guess the fact that we've been on 9 years means that we're not going to go away. We're not going to break up just because we have some deficiencies, but we do have some things to work on. And I guess I'll leave it there.